2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Brethren, I submit to you as I make application of that verse this morning that that verse would well apply to Baptist folks throughout the course of the history of the New Testament church. Baptist folks have always been concerned about doing those very things, about preaching the word, being instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. The fact of the matter is, Baptist folks have done that even when it cost them their life for doing that. And that's the history of the Baptist people, our forefathers, is this matter of being faithful in the things of God. Now, please keep in mind, the first church that was started in the New Testament was a Baptist church. And Baptist folks have been here in an unbroken chain ever since that time. Both the Bible and history bear that out, and that's what we're looking at this time. Now, we're in the lesson 6, the 3rd to the 7th centuries. The thought here is a great evil emerges and great darkness descends. Now, we talked about the great evil that emerged during that period of time. Of course, that was the Roman Catholic Church. We gave the beginning date of the Roman Catholic Church as 313 AD when Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, in which he made Christianity the state religion, a legal religion and all. And of course, the church became flooded with unregenerate folks at that time. And that simply brought greater persecution on Baptist folks because the Baptists said, wait a minute. We don't care whether the politicians have made Christianity legal or not. In order for you to be a member of a New Testament church, you've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got to come in repentance and faith, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, be born again, and then scripturally baptized to become a member of the church. And of course, that stand, as simple as that seems, resulted in the deaths of untold millions of Baptist folks. Now, we're not going to reteach what we taught on that last week. I simply wanted to bring us up to date. And now let's go to the next point. During this period of time, not only did a great evil emerge, but during these centuries, a great darkness falls. A great darkness falls. Now, that great darkness is called the dark or the Middle Ages. The dark or the Middle Ages. This is roughly a 1,000-year period that's characterized by both cultural and religious darkness. Now, it's not a coincidence that the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church and the beginning of the Dark Ages roughly coincide one with another. Now, I'm not suggesting or teaching to you this morning that the dates are identical. I'm not telling you that the starting date for the Roman Catholic Church and the starting date for the Dark Ages is exactly the same. The truth is, there's some difference of opinion when both of those things actually began and actually ended, and historically that's true of a great multitude of things and most things, as a matter of fact. But roughly, the Dark Ages was a period of darkness in human history. The two most popular starting and ending dates for the Dark Ages, one of them is beginning in 347 A.D. and ending in about 1347 A.D. The other one is about 476 A.D. to about 1500 A.D. And what I tell folks is simply this. Just go from about 500 to 1500. You've got a thousand-year period there. It was roughly 1,000 years long. There's a lot of things could be said about exactly when it started and exactly when it stopped, but it was roughly a 1,000-year period of great gloominess in the history of mankind, but in particular, the history of Baptist folks. You see, during that time, some terrible things happened, and I want to kind of give you the setting, if I could, just in a very general way. First of all, let's take the early Dark Ages. What brought it on? I mean, what made it happen is what I want to get at here. Now, remember, I want you to keep in mind, I'm giving this in relation to Baptist folks. My purpose in this study is not to talk about church history in general so much. I'm only bringing those things in as it can be related directly to Baptist folks. I'm not here to talk about political things there, and there's a lot of interesting things could be said, and I know many of you have studied that, and you understand much about that. But at any rate, what brought on the Dark Ages? I want to talk about, first of all, the early Dark Ages, the events that were prevalent there, up to about 1000 A.D. Up to about 1000 A.D. What is it that brought the Dark Ages on? Now remember, this is a time of darkness in both cultural knowledge, advancement, scientifically, all those things were at a stalemate, if you will, during that time. But folks, the things we're concerned about is the state of religion, the state of man's relationship to Almighty God during this time. And it was a terrible time of darkness. Why was that the case? Let me give you several thoughts. First of all, the early Dark Ages was brought on by the collapse of the Roman Empire. The collapse of the Roman Empire. Long before the Goths or the Huns or the Vandals overthrew the Roman Empire, Rome was destroyed within by its own materialism and immorality. That sounds like America, doesn't it? Materialism and immorality. The only part of the Roman Empire that existed after 476 AD, or after roughly the beginning of the Dark Ages, was the eastern part of the Roman Empire that was headquartered in Constantinople, present-day Turkey. Now remember, something has happened. Something has happened. There was a change as it related to the Roman Catholic Church. A part of the Roman Catholic Church by this time had moved from Rome to Constantinople. And folks, now you have both the eastern and the western divisions of the Roman Catholic Church. But make no mistake, all of them hated Baptist folks and did everything they could to kill all of them that they could get their hands on. So there was the collapse of the Roman Empire. That helped to bring on the period of human history we know as the Dark Ages. Secondly, there was the dominance of the Roman Catholic Church. As the political and economic and cultural systems of Rome were collapsing, the single surviving Roman institution was the Roman Catholic Church. And folks, that church began to assume greater and greater political power. Now remember, the Roman Catholic Church had its beginning in about 313. But the Roman Catholic Church actually developed over a period of centuries because they never used the Bible as their only rule for faith and practice like we Baptists do. As the centuries rolled by, the whatever corrupt pope happened to be in power at any given time kept adding doctrines to the Roman Catholic Church. And so all the things that the Roman Catholic Church holds to today are things that were added over a period of several centuries. By the way, the Roman Catholic Church is still changing. It still changes its doctrine. It still changes its stand. How can it do that, or why does it do that? Because it's like it's always been, it never believed that the Bible is the only rule for faith and practice. And so the Pope, acting in his official capacity, can create doctrine as he chooses to do so. The early Dark Ages was brought on by this fact of illiteracy and lack of education and lack of spiritual truth. You see, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy maintained its power through ignorance and through promoting superstition among the common folk. You see, for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church held sway over common people by keeping them ignorant of the Word of God. Folks, listen. The policy of the Roman Catholic Church all the way up into the 1400s and the invention of the Gutenberg press, the printing press, the policy of the Roman Catholic Church was not only to burn or otherwise murder God's people, Baptist folks, but their policy was to burn all their Bibles and all their books. And by the way, that was a pretty effective policy as long as they didn't have the printing press. And you see, books, Bibles, they couldn't be produced by the thousands. They were all produced by handwriting, and there were not great numbers of them. And they could really make an inroad against the people of God by burning their Bibles and burning their books. And they continued that all the way up until that power was snatched away from them by the inventing of the printing press. Did you realize? Do you realize that it was never common practice in the history of mankind? It was never common practice for common men in great numbers to have the Word of God in their language and in their possession until the printing of the King James Bible. For the first time in the history of mankind, men in great masses were given the pure Word of God in a common tongue, and it forever changed the history of the world. The early Dark Ages was brought on by the paganization of the Roman Catholic Church, combined with the prevalence of man's traditions over God's Word. It led to corrupt religious practices and the persecution of those believers who refused to participate into their long slide into heresy. Could I translate that? Those that refused to participate were primarily our forefathers, that is, Baptist folks, and they were persecuted mercilessly during the Dark Ages by the Roman Catholic Church that was beginning to gain power. Every decade that went by, the stranglehold that the corrupt Roman Catholic Church had on mankind grew and grew and grew. Every decade throughout the approximate 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. But there was another thing that led to the darkness of the Dark Ages during those early centuries of it. And that was the rise of Islam. The rise of Islam. In the religious vacuum of the Dark Ages, there arose a new religion. We know it as Islam, or the followers of Muhammad. It was founded in 610 A.D. by a man by the name of Muhammad. He was greatly influenced in his early life by both Jews and Christians. Muhammad referred to the Jews and Christians as people of the book because they had the Bible. Muhammad started his own religion. There's so much could be said, and I've taught on that here and in years past, and will not spend much time here. Muhammad incorporated much of the Bible into his teaching. Did you know that there's much in the Islam scriptures today, the Quran, there's much in it that's copied directly from the Old Testament? Wow. A lot of people are not even aware of that. Muhammad liberally copied from the Word of God as he began to put together the Islamic Bible, if you will. But Muhammad dethroned Jesus Christ as God, and instead he elevated his tribal moon god, Allah, or Allah, to the stature of Almighty God. Islam was from the very beginning propagated by the sword. You know what one of the great differences between Islam and Christianity has always been? Christianity is propagated by preaching the gospel. Islam is propagated at the edge of a sword, and it always has been, where people are killed if they refuse to accept or submit to Islam. The Dark Ages began to get darker. Islam began to be propagated by the sword. They conquered most of the Middle East, Egypt, North Africa, and Spain by 711 AD. And then something happened. In one of the most decisive battles in world history, a Frankish general by the name of Charles Martel defeated the Islamic Moors in the Battle of Tours in 732 AD. He halted at that time the spread of Islam into the rest of Europe. It looked at that time as if Islam would conquer the world with the sword. Can I make a little application at this point, if you'll allow me? Today, in Europe, instead of conquering Europe by the sword, Islam is conquering a decadent, zero population growth Europe by immigration. Islam is in the process of taking over Europe by migrating into those parts of the world. And by the way, folks, their sights are set on the United States of America also. Their goal is to take over the world for Islam. Now, we know from the Word of God that's never going to happen. However, there's still a lot of territory that they could and may well conquer. The later Dark Ages were brought on by some other things that continued the darkness, if you will. I'm talking about the last 500 years of the Dark Ages. Let's go, say, from 1000 to 1500. During those last 500 years of the Dark Ages, some other things kept the darkness in place and made the darkness even blacker, if you will. What are some of those things? Well, there was the politicalization of the papacy. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what in the world are you talking about? You see, during those days, there were times in the history of the Roman Catholic Church that they had multiple popes all at the same time. Most people don't realize that. Most people in Catholic churches don't know that, and they wouldn't believe it if you told them that. But do you realize that there were times in the history of the Catholic Church that they had three popes? There was one time they actually had four for a short period of time. In those times, all of those popes had different political alliances, and every one of those popes was excommunicating the other one. You see, people saw the hypocrisy and the lies of Catholicism through that, but they had a stranglehold on society. People were ignorant of the Word of God in much of the world. But now remember, even in the Dark Ages, don't let this escape you, even in the Dark Ages when much of the world was in spiritual darkness, the Baptist folks were still there. The Baptist folks were still upon penalty of death preaching Jesus Christ. And Baptist folks had all along a pure Word of God. And so they were always there. They were always behind the scenes. They were always dying. But they were always that faithful remnant that stayed true to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the later Dark Ages, some other things that took place were the Crusades. There were seven Crusades between 1076 and 1254 AD. Those crusades were undertaken to liberate the Holy Land from the Muslims. But guess what? There was an unintended consequence of those crusades. See, there was great multitudes of men that joined up to go and fight against the Muslims to liberate the Holy Land. But guess what happened? Oh, could I go back? You know, a lot of those men were promised salvation, forgiveness of sins if they'd join up and go fight. The popes made proclamations in those days, and they proclaimed, you know what? If you'll go and fight to liberate the Holy Land, if you die in battle, all your sins will be forgiven. But also they were promised great riches. They said, listen, if we conquer, you'll get to partake of the spoil. So there were every criminal and thug you can imagine went to fight in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. But an unintended consequence happened. I'm going to say more about this later. You see, those people that had came out of the darkness of the West, when they went and fought in the Crusades, they saw for the first time that there was a different world out there that lived differently than they did. They saw what was going on in the Arabic countries. They saw what was going on in the Eastern world. They saw that there were other cultures out there and other knowledge to be obtained. And they began to desire that which they had seen when they went on the Crusades and traveled to other parts of the world. That began a slow process of dispelling the darkness of the Dark Ages. One other thing that I'll mention during this time was the Inquisitions. The Inquisitions. One Baptist historian said that more than 50 million Baptist folks were killed by the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisitions. The Inquisitions was a time of purging and purifying, quote, by the Roman Catholic Church, the godless, corrupt Roman Catholic Church. They hated Baptist folks, and they said during the Inquisitions, we're going to get rid of all of them, we're going to kill them all, we're going to burn their Bibles. And decree after decree after decree by pope after pope after pope was made that made it illegal to be a Christian, that made it illegal to have a Bible in the native tongue, that made it illegal to have any kind of a religious book in the native tongue. And the Inquisitions began, and tens of millions of people were mercilessly slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church. And the world set up and took notice, and they said, you know what? We just don't believe God has got anything to do with this. And it began the breakup of the Dark Ages. Well, let's move on. Let me introduce at least lesson number 7. I've entitled lesson number 7, Centuries 8 to 14. That is the 700s through the 1300s. Centuries 8 to 14, preaching, hiding, and dying. Preaching, hiding, and dying. These centuries are going to bring before some other names. The names are different. Their beliefs are the same, because they simply represent the unbroken cord of New Testament Christians or Baptists that have always existed. Let me introduce to you, if I could, some of our other Baptist forefathers. Let's talk for just a moment about the Paulicans. The Paulicans. There was a great group that began to be known in the 7th, 8th, and 9th centuries. There was a group that began to be called by the name of Paulicans. Now, folks, history tells us this group actually existed all the way from the first century. But it was not until the 7th and 8th and 9th centuries that the Paulicans began to be known as the Paulicans. They were simply Baptist folk. You say, Brother Steve, what do they believe? They believe just exactly like you and I believe today, that are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. They believe that the Bible was the only rule of faith and practice. And just like Baptist folks always have, they said, you know what? We don't care what kind of laws are made. We don't care what the organized religions of the day say. We're simply going to go by the Word of God. And when they went by the Word of God, people hated them and killed them for doing that. Why were they called Paulicans, though? They were called Paulicans because they followed the writings of the New Testament. Now, I'm not going to fight with you about when the first church started. Many people say it started on the day of Pentecost. I don't hold that view. I believe, now I'm going somewhere, I'm thinking about the epistles now, Paul's epistle. I believe that the local church started with the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it was fully empowered on the day of Pentecost. And I believe that it was fully instructed during the time of the giving of the epistles, the New Testament epistles. Now, the Paulicans actually had the gall to believe this. The Paulicans went by the Word of God, and you know what they did when they had to make important decisions? They simply went to the Word of God. And they turned to the epistles which give instruction to the local church. They turned to the Word of God, and they sought God's leadership from the pages of the Word of God, and because of that, they began to be known as the name Paulicans because they were following the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, folks, listen. They weren't just following a man. They were following the Word of God, and of course, that name was given to them as a name of contempt, but they believe that they ought to just conduct their lives and follow the leadership of the Spirit of God and seek direction and counsel from the Word of God. The Paulicans made the claim that their churches came directly in a lineage from the time of Jesus Christ. Well, my word, we Baptists have always believed that. I believe right now that we can find the beginning of our heritage with the very first church. Isn't that what I've been talking about for all of these weeks and all? And that's what the Paulicans believed, because after all, they were just our Baptist forefathers. The Paulicans believed that the Word of God was the only rule for faith and practice. They recognized only believers' baptism in scriptural churches. They were intensely evangelistic. Folks, the Paulicans believed that it was their responsibility before Almighty God to talk to other people about their soul, tell them about Jesus Christ, even if it cost them their life for so doing. They went out and evangelized. They went out and preached Christ. They went out and told others about Jesus Christ. And as a result, they brought persecution down upon themselves, and they were dispersed over a wide area by the persecution that came. And everywhere they went, just like Christians always have, they preached Christ and told others about the grace of Almighty God. They had a great evangelistic spirit about them. Another group during this time is a group called the Bogomils. We never had anybody call us that, have we? They may say, you Baptist, but I never had anybody come and say, you nothing but a Bogomil. It really wouldn't bother me much. I know what one of them is, so I'd say, okay, yeah, I'll agree with that. I'll accept that. It wouldn't bother me a bit in the world. But there were the Bogomils. In about 755 A.D., a large group settled in what today is known as modern Greece and Turkey and southern Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, they were given the name Bogomils, which means the friends of God. That's not too bad, is it? Man, if somebody called me a Bogomil trying to be a, name of contempt. I would be too offended by that if they were calling me a friend of God. I'd feel pretty good about that, as a matter of fact, since I read what somebody said what it meant. I guess that's what it means anyway. But these folks were simply a continuation. Now watch it. The Bogomils were simply a continuation of the Paulicans under another name. Have you caught on now? Whatever one of these groups I'm talking about, they got a lot of different names, but we're just talking about the same people. They believe the same. They're all our Baptist forefathers. Can you see what I'm saying? History bears out that our forefathers have been here from the very beginning, folks. There's always been a godly remnant that stood true to the Word of God. In Bulgaria, the Bogomils were accepted as people who love God. The people that came into contact with them could tell that these Bible believers were different than the people that were members of the state churches of the day. They loved people. They loved souls. They loved God. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tried to win others to the Lord. The Bogomils eventually made their way into southern France, where in the Piedmont Valley they met up with other believers that were already there by the name of Albigenses. These Albigenses realized they believed just like the Paulicans and the Novatians and others before. All these groups didn't necessarily have contact one with another. I'm talking about regular contact. But when they did come into contact with one another and they began to talk, you know what they found out? They found out they were brethren. They found out, even though they were from different parts of the world and they had been called by different names, they found out they believed exactly the same. They were all our Baptist forefathers. They were all hated by the political governments and the organized religions of their day. In southern France, in western Italy, all over Europe, there was a group of people that were sometimes called the Cathari. Cathari means the pure ones. The pure ones. So you see, folks, it's according to what the date on the calendar was, what part of the world they lived in. They were called by a lot of different names. They were all our Baptist forefathers. They all believed just exactly like you and I believe. They were people, the Cathari were people that were concerned about purity in the church and holiness in their lifestyle. They wouldn't let just anyone come and be a member and live any old way if they didn't live right. They'd deal with them based on the Word of God. In France, these same folks were called the Petrobrusians. Wow, that's a big old name. In Switzerland, they were called the Henricians. We can move on to the Anabaptists, and the group of Baptists who moved over there from Wales into this country, the United States, began to propagate themselves across the United States. We can literally trace our Baptist history back from the time of Christ all the way up to this present day. So you see, folks, all of these different groups, we've named quite a few of them. We haven't named all of them, and it's not my intent to do that. I've given you enough. We've came through enough centuries. We've embraced enough of the world for you to see that history, as well as the Word of God, lets us know that our forefathers go all the way back. We've always believed the same thing. We've always been represented by that faithful remnant. They've been called a lot of names. Now, as time went by and we come closer to this day, these groups began to be known primarily as the Anabaptists. We're going to talk more about this when we get to get into the United States here a little bit later. We're going to talk about this in detail. But there came a day when, see, I'm getting to what you and I are called today. We're called Baptists. There came a day, though, when the Anna was dropped off of Baptist, and they were just referred to as Baptist and course, that's what you and I are referred to as today. We have a heritage to be proud of. The Bible tells us the Lord would have churches that would give Him glory in all ages, and I'm glad we're represented by that. I trust at this point you realize that all the names given in these groups are reference to the same type of people, which are all Baptists. You and I, as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, are the 21st century representation of New Testament Christians. Folks, that's something to be proud of. That's something to be proud of before Almighty God, to say, this is it. I'm not talking about fleshly pride. I'm talking about this matter of trying our best with all of our being to stay true to the Word of God and to be able to stand up in the face of Almighty God and say, God, to the best of my ability, I want to try to be faithful to You. I want to try my best to be a good representative in this day of Your true people that have existed in every day. Folks, we can do that. You and I can do that. Let's just make up our minds. This is it. We're just going to stay faithful and stay true. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Bless the services to follow. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.